Hello and welcome to Word of God Ministries with Pastor James McMinnis. If you enjoy the teachings of Pastor McMinnis and would like to obtain more resources or help us continue preaching Jesus as the manifested Word of God, visit our website at WOGM.com. The following program is paid for by the friends and members of Word of God Ministries.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you, Lord, for the work of your Spirit. That your Spirit has come to lead us into all truth, and we acknowledge that, God. Father, I pray for all that would be under the sound of my voice at this precise moment, for those here in this assembly, for those watching this live feed, Lord, I ask that you would bless our hearing, that your people would receive revelation, knowledge, wisdom, spiritual understanding, conviction of truth. Lord, I ask that you speak through me words that you would have spoken, that your Spirit would speak by me, that your word would be on my tongue, that you would make my tongue the pen of a ready writer, that I might write on the hearts and minds of these your people your anointed word, removing their burdens and destroying their yokes forever. As we boldly declare that, Satan is defeated, we are redeemed, and Jesus is Lord. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Let's get into this. We're in the book of Titus, the first chapter. I want to show you this that we read in the book of Titus, and I'm not exaggerating. This is one of my favorite verses in God's word. It spoke to me early on in my faith and early on in my ministry just a few years ago. Notice what he says in verse 2. He says, in hope of eternal life, an expectation that could be translated of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. This tells us that before there was a man that could sin, God had already established a word that would bring eternal life. He had already promised it before man ever entered. We see here that this hope that we have based on God's promise is secure because God's word and God's promise that have been given to us come from a God that cannot lie. That doesn't mean he chooses not to lie. It means he can't lie. And he can't lie because he'll always have whatever he says. See, you know, you and me can tell a lie. We can say something and it not be. But God can't say a thing be and it not be. You understand what I'm saying to you? So whatever God says, that's what it's going to be. He always has what he says. So he is a God that cannot lie. Now watch this in verse number 3. He says, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching. Let's read that verse out loud together. Ready? Read. But hath in due times manifested his word through preaching. So God said, my word existed before time as you know it. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Everything that exists came out of his word. When you say universe, you've literally said one word. Una means one, and verse means word. The universe is the result of one word of God. Everything started with him, and it was by his word that everything came into existence. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. Verse 3 says, without the word was not anything made that was made. So his word brought into existence everything that exists, every tangible thing, every intangible thing. It is by his word that all things exist. Let's do this. Put a bookmark here in Titus chapter 1. Put your bookmark there. And I want you to turn over to the, let's go to Hebrews. I started going a different direction. Let's go to Hebrews. It's just a few pages over. I mean, 4 or 5 pages over, and you'll be at Hebrews. And I want to go to the 11th chapter because there's something I want you to see that takes place when the Word of God is preached over your life, when the Word of God is preached over my life, when the Word of God is preached over a city. Hallelujah. I'm not just going to say something and not be able to back it up in his word. We're going to see some things tonight that's going to build up our faith. Amen. Edify us. And look here. Starve out our doubts. Amen. We don't need to be feeding no doubt around here. Now watch this in Hebrews chapter number 11. You get this. Amen. Now watch this in verse 3. Through faith, we understand, read with me, that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that were not made of things which do appear. That verse is so important. Let's read verse 3, all of it out loud together again. Read. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So God is saying here, it was by my word that everything you do see came into manifested form. It was by my word that all things manifested. It was by my word that all things appear. If that thing has appeared, if that thing has manifested, he said it is a result of my word. He's saying here from the very beginning, everything that was made was made by God's word. If you're one that writes in your Bibles, I would put next to Hebrews 11:3, I would put next to that John 1:3. Because John 1:3 tells us that without the word was not anything made that was made. Without the word was not anything made that was made. Everything that God made, he made with his word. Hallelujah. When you read Genesis chapter 1, and it says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And in verse 2, you see where the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Nothing happened. Verse 1, you've got the Father mentioned, God. Verse 2, you've got the Spirit of God mentioned. But in verse 3 of Genesis 1, the Bible says, And God said. And what did God say? He said, let there be light. And what do we see manifest? Light. God had what he said. But there was nothing that manifested, tangible or intangible, until his word went forward. What I'm wanting you to see is that there is a power that his word has to bring things into existence. Hallelujah. If you think about it, you would say, Pastor, that's me. Because there's a love in my life that you should not be there until his word was declared over me. There's a faith in my life I did not have until his word was spoken over me. There's a peace in my mind and in my soul that I did not have until his word was spoken over me. And you begin to take inventory of your life and you see things have changed in your home. You see things have changed with your children. You see things have changed even in your checking account and your savings account. You see everything beginning to shift and change and say, man, my life has been changed. By what? By the power of his word. His word never returns unto him void. When you put yourself in a position subject to his word, it is inevitable that something's going to change in your life. That's why the enemy works so hard to get you and I out from under the ministry and the preaching of his word. Can you say amen? Now go back with me to Titus, because I didn't finish this. Because I want to show you something in verse 3. Now, how many of us right now need something manifested in our lives? I mean, I would just hypothetically say that. Hands are going up. Amen. I mean, you say, man, I can think of something right now that I need in my life that doesn't exist yet in my life. And I'm going to show you here in a minute the importance of you hearing the word of God in every area, as it relates to every area of your life, because God uses the preaching of his word to manifest things in our life that were not there. So in other words, if God wants something manifested in your life, just like he wanted light manifested in creation, he spoke his word over the earth and said, let there be light. And it's been lit ever since. Now notice, when God wanted something to manifest in the earth, he spoke over it, and that word brought forth the very thing that it represented. How many of us have not positioned ourselves under the word of God so that the things he desires to manifest in your life might manifest? Now watch this here in Titus chapter 1, Verse number 3. He says, but hath in due times, read the next statement, manifested his word through preaching. So God's saying here, I manifest things when the word is preached. I bring things into fruition when the word is preached. I make things happen when the word is preached. God chose this in his word. Now, come back with me to the book of Romans, and I want to go to the 10th chapter, Romans chapter number 10. There are people in your life that need a manifestation that can come when they position themselves under the preaching of his word. There's things in my life that I need that can only manifest when I position myself under the preaching of his word. Listen, we've got to start putting faith in preaching. I'm not talking about James McManus or anybody else. I'm talking about the declaration of his word. We've got to start putting faith that something will manifest when his word is preached. Something will manifest when his word goes forward. Hallelujah. Just waiting a few minutes till we go back. Let me show you what happened with Jonah. When he finally went where God told him to go and preached the word of God over a city called Nineveh, and there was change because God needed that word to go forward before he could have a manifestation of what he wanted in that city. God wanted repentance. God wanted restoration. God wanted to show the children of Nineveh mercy and to restore them, but there had to be a word preached over them that, if you remember, Jonah didn't want to preach. That's how I ended up in the boat going in the opposite direction. That's when the storm came, and the Lord, he tells the sailors, hey, it's because of me that this storm hit this boat. I'm supposed to be in Nineveh, but I'm on this boat with y'all. And them sailors wasn't saved. Man, they grabbed that boy and threw him out right fast. And God prepared a whale to swallow up Jonah and spit him out on dry ground. And then he knew that he had to go back where God told him to go. And he went back to Nineveh. And the word says in Jonah 3 that he preached over Nineveh. And as he preached over Nineveh, Nineveh repented and turned to the Lord. And there was revival in Nineveh because the word had been preached over Nineveh. Listen, I believe with everything in me, a city can't change, a community can't change, a family can't change, a person can't change until the word is preached over them. There is something that dynamic happens when we get up under the ministry of the word of God, not necessarily church, not necessarily a sermon, the word. Hallelujah. Now watch this in Romans chapter 10. When you get there, say amen. And we'll go down to verse number 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So we want people to call on the name of the Lord. I was ministering. Well, actually, I was having I was visiting with a guy the other day, and he was telling me about worship and his own worship. And we got in a conversation that, and it's one I've had before, about worship and the word. Because there are a lot of people that have the mindset, because we come to church and we worship, and then the preaching of the word goes forward, that worship prepares your heart for the word. I'm not going to say there's no truth in that, because there is, but you can have an individual to walk in a worship service who does not have a heart for God, and they may not worship. But you let someone's life be just taken by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let the word of God come over that life, and they can't wait to worship. Worship biblically is always the last result. It's the end result. You worship because you gave your heart to God. You worship because you gave your life to God. You can look at your own life's worship and monitor how much of yourself you've given to God. When you can't worship, when you can't sing, when you can't praise him, when you are bound to put your hands in your pocket and say, well, I'm worshiping my heart. No, worship can't happen in your heart. heart. I've read the Bible from cover to cover and studied it. Worship comes out in bodily expression. Worship comes out with singing. Worship comes out with clapping. Worship might come out in a dance. Worship is always an expression. It's an outward expression of an inward change. But listen, an individual that just attends worship is not going to give themselves over to worship when they didn't give themselves over to God. It'd be no different than you clapping for a team that you're not a fan of. You clap for teams you don't like? You know, most football fans are haters. I had to tell somebody the other day, I said, look, you know, because they were talking about the Saints. I said, I hope the Saints go all the way. I'm not against them. I'm one of the few Cowboy fans. I don't have nothing against the Saints. I'm just trying to get Saints fans to feel my love. You ain't got to hate me because I got a star on my hat. We're all Saints, and we all know the maker of the stars. Can't we all get along? Point is, you don't clap, you don't invest yourself, you don't wear the team jersey of someone that you're not a fan of. When God gets a hold of your heart, you clap for him, you sing for him, you dance for him, you celebrate him, you wear his shirt and you talk his talk because he got a hold of your heart. But worship is what's going to show up next after God has gotten a hold of your heart. And worship's not just singing and praising and clapping. Worship's what you do with your life, because you can get your act on in church on Sunday and still not worship the rest of the week. And that's not right either. If you're going to worship God in the church, worship God in your car. If you're going to worship him in a praise service, worship him in your house. Worship him all the time. Don't give him Sunday morning and not let him have the rest of the week. My point is that for me, And I know many others, I've heard their testimony. Worship and sacrifice and giving and all of those things came as a result of God having done a work on the inside of me. We can teach every stewardship principle. We can talk about tithes, offerings, first fruit, sacrificial giving, all of that. But if your heart is not in love with God, you are not going to give. God says that your treasure will be where your heart is. So if your heart is in your wallet, then that's where your money is going to stay. But if your heart is in the kingdom, that's where your money is going to go. Your money always follows your heart, and you can't make somebody give that don't love God. See, all of those things are the response of a change that God's called us to have inwardly. But that change doesn't happen automatically. Listen, the way we treat people, the way we love people, the way we treat our spouse, raise our kids, all of those are manifestations of his word having been sown into our heart. You can't stay up under his word and that word not bring about physical, tangible, noticeable change. So just hearing a sermonette and then leave church to be a Christianette and throw the Bible in the back dash of your car only to pick it back up again next Sunday is not going to bring the kind of manifestation that God wants in our lives. So watch this with me in Romans 10. He says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But you can tell by the verbiage here that you're not just going to call on the Lord. Because he's saying in verse 14, something's got to happen for you to call. How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? They're not going to call on the name of Jesus when they don't believe in him. And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not what? Heard. And how shall they hear without a? So there's got to be some preaching for people to hear it, so people can believe it, so people can call on the name of the Lord. Now watch verse 15. How shall they preach except they be sent? And for word of God, what you do week to week and really daily is you send the word out. The word is going out every day. The word is out. The word is hitting this live feed. The word's hitting telecast. We've heard from people in 53 different nations. The word is going forward. The word is going to go forward next week out of CenturyLink and out of Independence Stadium. But you've sent that word. Listen, all that stuff you're going to see next week cost. Nothing you're going to see, I don't think, was free. Everything. When we walk in CenturyLink, we had to rent that. When you see a light, we had to rent that. When you see somebody singing, that costs. I wouldn't be surprised they don't send us a light bill. But listen, God says it's got to be sent. You send the preaching. And how shall they preach except they be sent? We have to send missionaries. We have to send support around the world. We have to send the word. But notice what happens when the word is sent, as it is written. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. He said that the preaching of the word is going to bring, notice those last words there, it's going to bring good things, good news of good things. So what's God saying here? He's saying there are some things that I want to manifest in your life that cannot manifest until people hear the word of God preach. And then God says, I can bring you some good news about some things coming into your life. A noticeable manifestation of his word. That something is going on in me. I don't see people the way I used to. I don't use the language I used to use. I don't listen to the same music I used to listen to. I don't go to those clubs anymore. I hadn't been to the boat in 3 years. I'm changing. There's something different about me. I don't give my husband a tone anymore. And I treat my wife like Christ treats the church. And there's something different happening in me. And those are amazing things. But don't think that God won't do the intangible, because he will bless you physically. He will bless your health. He will bless you financially. 3 John verse 2 says, I wish above all things that you prosper and that you be in health. God's saying there are things I want in your life that I want to bring and manifest in your life. But they can't come into your life until you've heard about it. He said, you got to hear it. Now go with me to Romans 16. That's why I can't miss no opportunity to get in this word. I got to get in this word. I got to read this word. I got to hear this word. I got to meditate in this word. I've got to confess this word. I want this word preached over me. Hallelujah. Because whatever's preached, I can expect to manifest. You've heard me tell this story once. A guy came to the church in the early days, and he got to the little entrance, a little foyer we had. And he said, y'all believe in healing? We said, yes, sir. He said, oh, okay. Just want to make sure. So y'all went in Benny Hinn churches, and he turned around and walked back out. And what I've tried to communicate to him and many others, he said, how the church you grew up in, you've been in church? Oh, yeah, I've been in church all my life. Did the church you was at ever preach about healing? No, we don't believe in that. Well, let me ask you the question. No, you don't believe in that? Is it the no, you don't believe in that because you hadn't heard it? I mean, are you saying, I don't believe it, and that's why it's not preached? But I'm saying you don't preach it because you don't believe it, because you ain't heard it. My point is how can you believe anything you ain't heard? So I don't want to live my life knowing that God has something, he has the power to manifest in my life, but because I've never heard it preached, I can never have faith in it. There are a lot of people, church, that do not know that God will forgive sin if they call on his name. They don't know what Jesus did for them, that they don't have to live their life in guilt and in shame. You know, because we live in such a society that makes open sin acceptable. But don't think just because the world we're living in is embracing whatever it is folk want to do, don't think that the guilt and the condemnation doesn't show up in their bedroom that night when they're trying to sleep. Listen, there's going to always be the conviction of sin in our life, and it will deteriorate the soul until that soul hears that, you know what, in this tarnished life, in this brokenness, in this sinful condition, God loves me, and he sent his son to die for me. And now, because I'm hearing what Jesus did for me, that I can be forgiven and can be made whole, that word being preached over me, now repentance manifests, change manifests, faith in God manifests, love for all people manifests, peace I didn't have manifests. All those things happen because I heard the word of God. Hallelujah. So watch this in Romans 16. Let's go down to verse number 25, Romans 16, verse 25. Now to him that is of power. Come on, somebody. Now to him that is of power. Know where he's got the power. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, here we go, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. God's had secrets. God has had a plan for you and me since before the world began. And you say, man, I want that. I want that revelation. I want that plan for me. I want that word that says, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have it entered the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Many folks stop at verse 9, but verse 10 says, God reveals those things to us by his Spirit. In other words, God has things in your life that he wants to manifest in your life, things you've never seen, things you've never heard, things that have never entered your heart before. God said, I want to manifest those things in your life. But how does he do it? Watch verse 26. But now is made what? Manifest. And how? And by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. God's saying in verses 25 through 26, I'm going to manifest things that have been kept secret. I'm going to manifest things you didn't know I could do. I'm going to manifest ways that you didn't know that I could move. I'm going to manifest myself in a way that all your life has been a secret. You didn't know God was that good. You didn't know God was that powerful. You didn't know God could touch those areas of your life. And he says, I'm going to manifest that, how? Through preaching. Through the preaching of the gospel. I got more. Go with me to 1 Corinthians. Just turn over a page. Who needs the preaching of the Word of God? Who needs what's going to happen when Jesus is preached next week at CenturyLink and Independence Stadium? Listen, God's calling you and me to get them up under his word, to get them in a place where they can respond to him in worship. I believe something spiritual is going to be released over Shreveport-Bossier that I'm going to be standing back in faith looking for the manifestation of it. Hallelujah. Watch this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, but what I'm doing tonight is I want to build your faith up in this plan that God had, this avenue that God chose to manifest his word. If you just stop right now where you are, just stop everything. Just think, just for a minute. What's different about your life when you came up under the ministry of his word? What's changed in you? My brother over here, Brother Jefferson, said everything. Just think about it for a minute. Say, man, am I the same person out from under the preaching of his word as I am under the preaching of his word? Now, who in here can testify, and don't throw your hand up just because everybody else is or somebody next to you. How many of you can say, being up under the ministry of God's word has changed things in my life? Now, look around the room. That's God's way. That's the avenue God chose. Now, somebody said, well, I don't believe it takes all that. Okay, I didn't establish the system. But watch with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 when you get there, say amen. And everybody won't. God only gives us enough of his word to generate faith. And if he showed you and told you everything, you wouldn't need faith. So he gives you just enough to say, oh, I got faith in that. Because if he gave it all to you, you wouldn't need faith. So he gives just enough for you to say, I got faith in that. He gives you enough information so that it will require faith, but he leaves out enough information to let you doubt. You need to let that set in just for a minute. Somebody, wait a minute now. He just said something about God to make me doubt. No, you hear what I said. God, through the preaching of his word, will give you enough faith to set yourself in motion in the direction of his will, believing that he will do what he said. He won't give you everything because it would not require faith. So he gives us just enough to say, oh, I believe. But if he gave you too much, it wouldn't need faith. So that means he leaves out enough to let you doubt. So God said, the preaching of my word is going to put you in a position. I'm going to put you in a position where I'm going to give you just enough to lead you to faith, but I'm going to omit enough to let you doubt. You say, why would God do that? Because that's what separates the believer from the unbeliever. That's what separates the saved from the lost. That's what separates light from darkness. That's what separates a child of God from one that is not, faith. Somebody said, I don't know how y'all go up there and get around that word and you believe all that stuff, that man preaching, you believe that man, you believe that Bible. You think God wrote the Bible? And just say back to that poor soul, say, look, say, God omitted enough to let you doubt. And so you're choosing to doubt, but he gave me just enough, made me believe. So you can take what he left out and doubt all you want to. But he gave me enough to believe. Well, was Jesus really born on December the 25th? Don't matter, I believe he was born. And the date doesn't matter. What was eggs and rabbits got to do with the resurrection? Nothing, but it don't matter. See, wherever you want to argue, wherever you want to put it, how did a virgin have a baby? Explain to me, how a virgin going to have a baby? Well, I believe in his word that he gave me enough to say she did. But he left out enough detail to let you doubt. Y'all ain't hear what I'm saying up in here. I never thought I'd get excited about somebody doubting. But the point I'm trying to make is that God wants to bring us all in faith, but there are some people that have no information. And God has chosen an avenue to deposit enough information so that not one person who hears the gospel doesn't have the opportunity to have faith, because the word says God has given to every man a measure of faith. So God will say, I'll give you the capacity to believe me, and you can add to that capacity by getting under my word, but I will leave out enough to let you doubt me. And that's what's going to separate those that believe and those that don't. And you got to stop worrying about those that are focusing on what's been omitted. That are focusing on stuff that don't even matter. You got folk judging us and judging you and judging me and judging this ministry because they've seen something through religious eyes that they try to judge Word of God by. I don't know how one man going to take care of 7,000 people. How's one man going to take care of 7,000 people? He don't even know everybody's name. Because you look at church with pastor and flock, and you think that the pastor is the savior of the flock. We make it all about Jesus, and he knows every one of your names. I don't need to know your name. Does he know your name? Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? That's the only place it matters where a name is. So if you want to doubt, if you want to resist, God says, I'll omit enough to let you go that route. But God is so good that he says, you know what? I'm not going to let it be excused that you don't believe. So I'm going to allow my word to bring forth a faith that'll be just enough to win you over to faith. Y'all done got me acting silly up in here. All right. I just know because I get stopped in public all the time, and I'm going to tell you. Watch this. First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. I just love people smiling. Amen. I told one guy, he got all upset. He couldn't understand how. No church supposed to have more than 300 members. He just was going off of me. I said, look, well, I said, what was I supposed to do with 301? What was I to do? Please don't get saved here because we can't go anymore beyond 300. Oh, no, we can't baptize you. Go find a church that's got 100. My goodness, the word went forward, was preached, and God brought the increase, and people got mad. Isn't that a shame? Watch this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize. That's the Apostle Paul teaching. For Christ sent me not to baptize. It doesn't matter who baptized you. As far as the pastors of the church. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but what? To preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words. So ain't no sense in using words that only you and the dictionary understand. Because then I can't get no faith because I didn't know the meaning of that word. So every once in a while, I'll get in the pulpit and get deep, and I'll say, oh, yes, I was righteously indignant. And folks sit there saying, well, what are you talking about? And then the Lord will say, would you please tell me you just got mad? I try to use the words mad instead of righteously indignant. So watch this. He said, what verse, man? 17. But to preach the gospel not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Paul said, if I was a great speaker, if I had it all together with my language and my delivery, then folk would say that the people were just being moved by my ability to speak. He said, I didn't use words of man's wisdom. I didn't have this enticing speech. If I had, it would have made the cross of Christ of none effect. What he's saying is God will use you in your weakness. Why? So that he can get the credit and the glory. He's showing here that it's not the man behind the preaching. It is the preaching behind the man that makes the difference, not the man. He said it had nothing to do with me. Verse 19, 18. Read this with me. Verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Stop right there. The preaching of the cross to them that perish foolish. But God will omit enough about the cross to let you think that. But he also will give you enough about the cross to lead you to believe. And watch what happens with that in verse 18. But unto us, read it. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. How is it the power of God? Because we were lost until that cross got preached. And when the cross was preached, we believed it and were saved. So you might be an unbeliever and might think this preaching is foolish, but you don't know what it did for me. I'm not the same person. I don't think the same way. I don't live the same way. Preaching changed my life. You might call it foolish. I call it power. That's what Paul is saying here. Because I'm going to tell you, you know, I second guess myself sometimes. But look what the word says. The preaching of the cross to them that are saved is what? It's the power of God. Drop down to verse 23. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. The Jews, to them... a people of faith, it became a stumbling block because they had rejected Christ. The Greek is only moved by knowledge and intellect, so that's foolishness to the Greek. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, those that have faith in what they've heard, those that got enough to believe. Come on, somebody. I got enough to believe. I got enough to believe. I got in the car Sunday and left church, and we always ask the kids, what did you get? What did you get? Because if I leave church and my own kids didn't get nothing, something got to change. So we get in the car, we head and get something to eat. I said, what'd y'all get out of today? And man, Lana has something to share, and Jaron has something to share, and James has something to share, and Mila has something to share. And Jaron jumped in there and he said, Daddy, he said, when you showed that genealogy in Genesis 5 and how all those names pointed to Jesus, he said, I sat there and thought to myself, how could anybody not believe that the Bible was written by God? He said, for me as a Christian, it just reinforced my faith that the Word is the Word of God. And he went to Sharon, and the kids went to Sharon, and it bless my heart, but he didn't always have what he has now, but he had enough to say, I believe, and I hadn't always have what I got now, but I had enough back a few years ago to say, that's enough to get me in. I believe. So watch this. He says to those that are saved in verse 23 or 24, look, the power of God, Christ, the power of God, and what else? And the wisdom of God. But watch verse 25. But unto them which, but because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Even if God had a bad day, it'd be better than the strongest good day. Hallelujah. I got more to show you. Come with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I need his word declared over my life. I need to declare his word over my life. He manifests his word through preaching. Listen, if you set up under the preaching of his word, and let me say it like this. If you set up under preaching and you're not being changed, something's wrong. You can't set up under his word being preached and not experience change and something not happen to you. Hallelujah. I met this guy one time here at the church, and he said, yeah, he said, you know, I came out. He said, I was a part of a forum that were trying to stop what y'all were doing out here. And he said, so I came out here just to spy. He told me this straight up in my face. Landon, am I telling the truth? He said, I came out here just to spy to see what y'all was doing out here. He said, I was a part of a forum to stop Word of God. And he said, you ain't going to believe this. And I said, what? He said, man, I done came out here and joined. He did. Landon, am I telling you? He did. He said, I done joined. I said, man, tell a committee to send another. Nothing going on out here except people loving people and the Word of God going forward and praise and worship going forward. It's not about a man. It's not about a color. Not about a denomination that confuses religious minds. It's not about man. It's all about his word. It's all about Jesus. We ain't just saying that. We mean it. Yeah, people, you invite to Olive Town and say, well, I'm a member of such and such church. You can be a member of such and such church and still come. Watch this, 2 Timothy, chapter 4, you there, say amen. Man, I went to church, the first time I went to get my auntie to hush. Kept inviting me and pestering me every Saturday. I got tired of all that. I said, okay, I'm going to go. And no, I want you to hear nothing about no church. I went that Sunday and got saved. See, when you get up under the word being preached, you won't even be ready for what's going to happen. You call yourself a spectator and leave a participator. 2 Timothy chapter 4, you there, say amen. I got to wrap this up here in a few minutes. Watch verse 17. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. I pulled this verse up asking the Lord to do that for me. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. What an awesome word the Apostle Paul gives to Timothy. He says, God gave me strength that his preaching might be, the preaching might be fully known and that all might hear. Why? Because there's power when the word of God is proclaimed over one's life. Now, let's do this. Let's go to Jonah. Let's go to Jonah. And I want to show you something, first of all, in the opening chapter. So we'll go to Jonah chapter 1. And if you really, want to see something, go with me at the same time to Matthew 12. We're going to close right here. We'll be done in just a minute. But we're going to pull all this together here in just a second. All right, watch this. Jonah 1, we'll start in verse 1. Oh, I'm stirred up by this right here. We got to get this. This is what we're going to believe God to happen next week. Everybody there? See, Jonah's rough. He's right behind Obadiah. If you ever can find Jonah, then for the rest of your life, you'll be able to find Obadiah. All right, watch this. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, arise. Anytime you hear the word arise, it's a heavy word. Biblically, it means this: change your position and posture. Ooh, arise, change your position and posture. And that's physical and that's mental. Arise, go to Nineveh. But don't go to Nineveh until you arise. You got to change your position and change your posture if you're going to go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. So God said, I want you to go to Nineveh. Now, Jonah decided, I think I pass. So that's how he ended up in the belly of the whale. But the Lord spit him out and got him back on the right track. So now come to chapter 3. I guess you go through all that. You'd be like, okay, Lord, what'd you say? Chapter 3, verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, here we go, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. And Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now, Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. So he had 3 days in the whale, thinking about it. Now, 3 days on foot, thinking about it, going to Nineveh. Now, he preached the word over Nineveh. And I want to show you what Jesus had to say about it. Come over to Matthew chapter 12. See, the Lord will tell you to minister to somebody, and you'll come to the conclusion on what they're going to do with it. And then you get on a boat and go in the opposite direction. And God will have to reroute you to get you back to that place where he said arise and say, okay, now go. And I love what he added that second time. If you study it, the first time he said, go preach to Nineveh. And Jonah didn't do it. The second time he said, go preach and tell them what I bid you. I'm going to tell you what to say. I'm going to tell you, you say what I tell you to say. And so Jonah goes. Now, watch Matthew 12, and I want you to put this together. When you allow intimidation and fear to set in when you won't preach the word over someone's life, you are underestimating the power of preaching. You are underestimating the power of the gospel. You say, well, Pastor, I shared with some people the word of God, and they ignored me. You think they ignored you. You don't know what went on when they left you that day. You don't know what was going on in their mind when they went to sleep that night. God said one plants, another waters, but God will give the increase. You've got to recognize that this word has power. And when I speak this word over someone's life, this word demands results. Just need somebody to preach it. Now, watch what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12. You get there, say amen. Verse number 41, Matthew 12, way down there. Here's some folk that Jesus preached the word to and did miracles in front of. They saw the manifestation of the power of his word, and then they said he was of the devil. Jesus got results with his word, and then they looked back and said, well, he's of the devil. That's what the Pharisees said. And then they said, we need a sign. That's in verse 38. We need a sign. We need you to prove to us. They don't need no sign. A critic always finds something they don't like, no matter how many signs you give them. Amen. Jesus said in verse 39, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Now watch verse 41. This is what I want you to see. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. Jesus had preached the word to those men, and they rejected it. And Jesus said, there is coming a day when the men that heard Jonah's preaching, they're going to condemn you because they repented. They moved at Jonah's preaching when you wouldn't move at mine. God is taking inventory of preaching and does not excuse unbelief when the word has gone forward. Did you just see that right there? In other words, when I hear the word of God, heaven now expects me to respond in faith for that word to bring manifestation in my life. God said here, he said, Nineveh, the folk of Nineveh are going to condemn you because they repented at Jonah's preaching when you ignored, when you basically have ignored mine. All right, last verse I want us to go to is the book of Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament, right by Proverbs, and we're done. I got to show you this. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Church, never allow the word of God to be spoken over your life that you don't receive in faith. He said, well, I just need more. Well, sometimes he won't give you more, but he gave you enough to believe. Then folks walk up to you and say, you do this to me. You prove there's a God, now come to that conference. And you say back, you say, I tell you what, you prove to me there's not one. And I won't even go to the conference. Remember this, whoever asks the questions controls the conversation. Jesus would be asked a question, and he would ask a question. And the Bible says they dare not ask him any more questions. Ecclesiastes 12, you there, say amen. I don't know what I told y'all. I love chapter 3. I really do, but that ain't where we need to be right now. Go with me to chapter 12. Anybody can holler, anybody can declare words, but God is raising up a generation of preachers. Look at your neighbor and say, you're a preacher. There's some things that need to manifest, and God's calling you to preach it. Speak it. Say it. Glory to God. He said, what do I say? I'm about to show you what to say. Because some of y'all have been called preachers anyway, because you've been speaking so much word over folk that say, what are you, a preacher? And you just need to say, yep, what I am. Now, watch this in Ecclesiastes 12. We're going to wrap this up right here. Verse 9, you there, say amen. Here, the preacher's talking about how vanity. This is Solomon here, and he's preaching about how everything's just vain. life can be filled with so much vanity. Now watch what he says in verse 9. Because the world is filled with so much vanity. People chase stuff that's not, it's not even relevant. It doesn't even matter. Vanity, vanity, saith the preacher. All is vanity. Verse 9. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs or lessons or teachings. He put them in an order so that they could be received. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words. Read that out loud. The preacher sought out to find acceptable words. See, we're preachers. We've been called to preach the word, but you got to get the right ones. The preacher sought to find acceptable words. What words do I need to be speaking? Because it's not the preacher that gets the results. It's the word that gets the results. So the preacher sought to find out acceptable words. Watch this. And that which was written was upright. Even what? Words of truth. That's why we rely on the word of God, because the word of God is truth. He said, the preacher said, I need words that are accepted by God, words that are relevant, words that will get results. And where did he find them? He found them in the word of God. He found words of truth. Jesus said in John 17, verse 17, thy word is truth. When we put ourselves up under the preaching of the right words, we get the right manifestations. Never underestimate. You might be turning the dial and you hear some preaching. It may be for you, it may not, but always have an ear to hear. You never know when God's going to send you a word through your Bible app and something pop up on a daily scripture, and that word might be for you today. You never know when a friend's going to send you a text and you're like, man, I needed that. Or somebody stop by and pray with you and speak a word over you. You're like, man, I needed that. Don't you ever underestimate the power of words. I don't care if they come from a 5-year-old or a 50-year-old. When the word of God goes forward, there's power in his word. There's power in his word. There's always power in his word. It may be old, young, black, white, Baptist. It don't matter. There's power in his word. When we come up under the preaching of his word, God says, whatever you just heard from my word, that's what I want to manifest in your life. I want us to pray, and I want you to ask yourself this question as we pray. What am I missing in my life? What has his word changed in my life? Every head bow, Father. You've given us enough word. You've given us enough word to believe. Every head bowed, are you believing? Do you believe his word? What do you need in your life? What's missing? What's broken? Because if for God to get it to you, you got to get in his word. It's the system he set up. He set it up like this. You say, I don't know why he set it up like that. I don't know why he set it up. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Wherever you're watching this live feed, wherever you're listening, or you may be here visiting tonight, and you can take this from me because I'm a pastor and I experience it. I'm not asking you to do this for me if I'm your pastor, though I am. That's not my motive here. I'm talking about all pastors, all preachers. Pray for whoever it is that speaks the word over your life. Pray for them. And if you pray for me, I'm grateful. But that's not why I'm saying this. I'm saying this because we need pastors, we need preachers to rise up in every community, in every city, in every state that will speak the word. Just speak the word. Preach the word. The word will get results. We don't need more programs. We just need the word. Before you go to church, pray. So, Lord, I pray you move through that minister, that preacher, that pastor. Give me the words I need. It's the method God chose. He chose the foolishness of preaching. To demonstrate his power to them that believe. And I pray next week that as Jesus is preached in this city, that he would manifest faith, that we'd see a revival of souls saved. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that next week your word not return unto you void. I pray, God, for every soul that will walk into that arena that doesn't believe, that you will bring forth a word, an anointing that will manifest salvation, repentance, change of heart, change of life. God, I pray that not one person walk in at any night next week and leave the same. God, do something that only you can get the credit for. May every bondage be broken. May there be freedom from addiction. May there be freedom from bondage. May those that walk in with hate and racism in their heart leave loving you and loving their neighbor. Lord, reveal Jesus. Reveal your cross. Reveal your love to us, Lord. Do it in a way we've never seen before. You said you manifest your word through preaching. Manifest your word. We want to see revival, Lord. We know we can't set the date. We can just set the platform. We can just set the venue. We've made the preparations. We've sent out the invitations. We've done the natural, Lord. Will you do the super? We'll give you all the credit. We'll give you all the glory. We want to see this city change. We want to see something happen here, God, that people will talk about and walk away from and report that you'll be glorified through. Lord, as we worship you next week, may your glory fill that arena. May your presence be so strong that men are not able to stand in your presence. Do what only you can get the credit for. Break every spiritual stronghold over this city, God. If you're here or you're watching this live feed, you've never called upon the Lord to save you,
I invite you to pray this prayer with me right now. He's given you enough faith to believe. He's omitted enough to let you doubt. What's your choice? I invite you to pray with me. Heavenly Father, I believe your word. I believe before the beginning of time, you had a plan. To wrap yourself in flesh, be born of a virgin. Live on this earth. And with no sin, die for mine. I believe you paid the price for my salvation. And I accept your gift and ask that you save me, forgive me, and manifest your word in my life, that my life would bring you glory. In Jesus' name.
To obtain your copy of this series in its entirety, visit our online store at store.wogm.com. For more information about Word of God Ministries, visit our website at wogm.com.